Let's appreciate Jesus. Let's just say that was for the woman of God from Nairobi. If you knew the mercy of God upon your life, if you know where God has got you from, if you know the provision of God, if you know the path that God is taking you, lift up your voices, let's celebrate Jesus, KCMI. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we honor you. So grateful for the gift that came through Jesus. So grateful for the Spirit of the living God who introduces Jesus to us in a personal way. So grateful for mercy that found us. So grateful for the fellowship that we have together with you. So grateful that you've redeemed us back to you. So grateful for the opportunity to serve you. So grateful that we are children of God. That we are no longer orphans. We are not strangers, but we have access. Receive the highest praise, O God. And Spirit of the living God, we surrender to you. You are already here. The minutes that we have, let them be your minutes. Magnify God in the midst of this. Let your will be done. I honor you, O God, for allowing me to be back. You knew I would be back. You make a way where there seems to be no way. It is not just coming, O God. It is the encounters that we desire. So, Father God, may your name be glorified as we speak of your oracles, O God. As you bring this word to be alive in our spirit, as you awaken us from the inside, oh God, to the realities of the kingdom, to the realities of who you are and the intentions that you have for your children and the fellowship that you so desire with us, oh God, your name may be glorified. We honor you and we give you praise. I have a word for the lady, the baby shower lady. The Lord is saying, I have called you as a Hebrew woman. You will not struggle. You will not labor for long. The Lord is reminding me, Kaya Rabeza Namayande Rebahasya Namahaya, that when the Hebrew women were on their stools on that day, and there were midwives Shifra and Pua, and the Bible says, when the king had said, if it is a boy, kill him, if it's a girl, let them live. And the Bible says that these Hebrew women were not like the Egyptians, that the grace upon your life, because of serving even in this altar, and because of believing the God that has been mentioned in this altar, may your seasons come speedily in the name of Jesus. We pray that whoever will be a midwife on that day, may they be filled by the Spirit of God with the wisdom of God. We declare you're not coming home empty, that you will hold that baby. And I also pray for the remaining few days that you'll be a prophet for the destiny of that child, that you will speak of what God would want that baby to become in the name of Jesus. Father God, we thank you for the gift of the womb. And we thank you because we are not barren. And we thank you because you have allowed us even in a foreign land to be fruitful. And so God, I pray in the name of Jesus, come that day for speed to deliver in the name of Jesus. And as you do it, Father God, may your name be glorified. In Jesus' name, we may have our seats. Thank you so much, Papa Daktari. The doctor is Daktari in Swahili. You honor the grace of God upon your life. You're just a man of God that I honor from a distance. And I thank God for Pastor Rose. Thank you. You're aging like fine wine, gracefully. And we thank God even for the opportunity to be able to come back. I didn't come alone. Sorry, last time I forgot to introduce my PA now. See my life. I came with Esther. Esther Mumbi has been my PA in Kenya. And then God brought her to Doha, so we reconnected again. And I told her, whatever God had spoken in Nairobi, do it in Doha, as we wait for the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Pastor Sam, for the grace of service and honoring the man of God, what is about to happen in your life is so, so great. You are not a fighter. You do not strive from the inside. You have a grace of a son. You do not have the heart of a servant. And I was praying for you, and the Lord told me to tell you the benefits and the reward of service. The things that men may not see that you have committed before God. He's saying, I am doing them in my own time that my name may be glorified. That your sacrifice, even in the secret, the Lord says, I know it and I know what I'm doing with you. But I can tell you, in a matter of time, your lifting will be like the dawn of the morning. And what the Lord has in store for you together with your family, the Lord is saying, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, it has not even entered your heart of what the Lord is about to do with your life. But for the reason of serving the grace of the man of God, the Lord is saying, I'm giving you support from above. I'm giving you support in men. I'm giving you support in finances. Because of serving when everyone left, the Lord is saying, I know your sacrifice. I know your service. And I know what I have in store for you. So man of God, you may be seated there, but in the heavenlies, your reward is an aroma in the presence of God. I'm saying this because in a few years since 98, I have served men of God. And I know serving is not easy. But it's not only serving with our mouth, but it's serving with our hearts. That God can call you and connect you with a man. Not that you are striving to be number one, but you have submitted under the authority. And men may not understand the sacrifice, but there's a God in heaven who searches the hearts of men, who understands the depths. I want to encourage someone in this meeting that you may be serving in a grace that maybe you do not understand all the details. The God who called you to serve with the man of God knows what he's doing with you. It may be a difficult season for you, but if you serve with a diligent heart, if you serve from the place of understanding, your reward may not be in the man of God. Your reward is in the God of the man of God. And even as you serve a grace of men, the Lord will cause you to be served in due time. I want to encourage someone in this meeting. God has called us to serve each other. The Lord has called us to commune with each other. And the Lord knows what he's doing with us. Do not give up. Do not lose hope. It may look like a waste of time. It is never a waste of time. It is an investment of time. It may look like a lot of labor. It is an investment, and I want to assure you, a time is coming when the Lord is going to shift you and cause you to be kaya na mayande lebasia na mahaya, a person who can manifest the glory of God in public places. That those who thought that you're wasting your time serving, they will come and say, it was indeed worth that you served the graces. That is why Elisha had to serve Elijah. Joshua served Moses. The disciples served Jesus. But at the nick of time, the Lord is able to know what he's doing with us. I can tell you, in the midst of serving, I'm already into my sermon. In the midst of serving, the motives of the heart are revealed. That is where we request men to stay a little bit longer so that we can know the motives of their heart, so that we can know why they came to church. But I pray that in the mighty name of Jesus, blessed be the men and women who have said, Lord, I am here to serve you regardless of the conditions. I am here to watch together with the people of God, whether it is convenient or not. And that God who called you is not man. He is faithful and he will do what he promised you. As you serve, he shifts your motives towards his direction. As you serve, we do not go home empty. As we serve, he gives us our reward. As we serve, he aligns our destinies in place. That when that day comes and we stand before him, he can say, welcome home, faithful and good. Kaya ramahazia namahaya. If only I can hear faithful and good, it was in this meeting, you will pay a cost. And yes, you will pay a cost. Because we are spiritual beings, but in a physical body. So there's a cost of denying self. There's a cost of saying, I commit until the end. There's a cost of saying, I will give everything, oh God, so long as you be glorified. Thank you, Jesus. The title of my message is Separated for God. Separated for God. The book of Genesis, chapter number 12, verse number 1. But before we get there, I want us to understand that from the beginning, the Lord had a desire that man would be separated for him and him alone. The Lord is calling us to a place where we stand in the audience of one. My prayer for us in this service is that we will capture what the Spirit of God has in store for us. It may not be a loud someone, but I can tell you it's a deep someone that the Lord will allow it to sink in your spirit, that you will understand what the Lord has in store for you. The Bible says when God created man and woman in his image, Genesis 1 from 27, in his likeness, he was calling them to have his print in them, that wherever they go, they will be a people of distinction. A different people that you can see someone and you can say, this is a born-again woman of God. This is a born-again woman even in the office, in the marketplace. Wherever you go, that there's a mark of God in you. And so the Bible says that one thing that the Lord did is that he used to have fellowship with Adam in the cool of the day. He could commune with him. He was calling him to a place of separation for him. You know, he had given him influence. He had given him authority even to name all the animals. But this was not what God wanted, you know. We need to understand that God has given us so much. But he's telling us, beyond giving you all this much, I want my spot with you to be secure. I want to be there, a place of intimacy in your heart that no one can penetrate. That when your marriage is not working, there's a place in God that your marriage cannot touch, whether it's working or not. There's a place that money cannot touch. It is a place in God. It is a place that God calls a person into, that nothing will stop them from worshiping God in that place. And so he could have communion with them. In the cool of the day, he could come. He had positioned this man in a place of authority. But when they lost their position, when Adam lost his position, God came looking for him and said, Adam, Adam, where are you? What has to understand that our God desires your fellowship with him. With everything that you have, he's delighted in you. That in that place of honoring him with all that you have, he fights your battles. That you don't have to go shouting about things that are not working, but you can be so confident in this one thing. That you have the assurance of the presence of God in your life. That even when things are not working, you will not walk around like someone who is not okay. You can rest when nothing is working in your life. You can be jobless but still have a song in your heart. You can be waiting on God for a child but you still have a song in your heart. This is the place that God is calling us, separated for him. That you get to understand who he is in your life. You can understand what he has done in your life. But more so of who he would want you to become in him. That he may be able to be glorified. So he came and said, Adam, where are you? I can't get you in the place of fellowship. I can't locate you in the place I positioned you. I can't find you in the place that I used to have communion with you in the cool of the day. And I believe the Lord will call someone tonight before we come to the end of the service back to the place of communion together with him. Back to the place where money does not define me. I define money. A place where status does not define me. I'm defined by the word of God that I carry. That whether it's working or not, it is still working because I'm a child of God. Whether I have money in my pocket or not, I'm still rich because I know he became poor that I may become rich. So I know who I am in God. The things of the world do not dictate who I am. I'm already comfortable in whom I am in God. And then if I am a carrier of God, I dictate what happens around me. I carry the fragrance of the anointing of God wherever I go. So the Lord is asking Adam, where are you? And then he says, I heard your voice and I hid. And he's asking, why did you hide? Then he said, you know, what were you told that is different from what I told you? Who is this that deceived you and got you from the place that I wanted you to be? Church of Jesus Christ, we need to understand there's a word that God has given to each and every one of us. A word that causes you to be afloat when things are sinking. A word that causes you to smile in the midst of mourning. A word that causes you to keep running when you don't feel like you have the energy levels to keep running. A word that is hidden in your spirit, revealed by the Spirit of God, that causes you to be a man and a woman of a different spirit, a man of distinction, a man who can be marked of God. And he said, who told you that you are naked? Because I had clothed you with my glory without clothes. Because I knew what you needed before you asked of it. Because I had an intention to put my print upon your life so that you may become like me. Who told you that you are poor? Who told you that you're not beautiful? Who told you that you are naked? Did you get information from another source that is not my source? And the Lord is calling the church of Jesus Christ in this meeting to come back to the original voice of your maker, that he tells you, I know you by name. You are mine. I have held you in the palms of my hand. No one can take you away from me. I am your father. You are not an orphan. You are not a stranger in the courts of heaven. Who told you a different report? And I want to challenge someone in this meeting today. We shall only believe in the report of Jehovah, because what the Lord knows about us, he has revealed through the scripture, unless you are not a reader of the word of God. So who tells you that you are rich because you have money? Kayana Mayande. The Lord has given us every spiritual blessing. So money does not say what I do. I'm not happier at the end of the month. I am a woman of joy. Money finds me happy. Money does not locate happiness in my life. I know who I am in God. And so the Lord starts looking on how he can redeem this son and this daughter back to the original place, that they may be able to understand there's a place in God where money cannot find its way. There's a place in God where the support system of men, which may fail with time, cannot get you there. But if you have discovered this place, all things will align in accordance to the plan of the Lord. So the Bible says, and the Lord, they had covered themselves with twigs. And the way sometimes we come pretending that we are on top of our game. You know, I was naked, and so I got some things and I covered some private parts of my body. And the Lord saying, even with the twigs, you are still naked. Because I can see, because what I wanted is not you to come and do something to cover yourself. It is my glory that I desire. That beyond those clothes that you wear from whatever place, I want my glory to overshadow you. That I may be able to be seen through your life. Carriers of the glory of God. And so the Bible says, the Lord killed the first animal as a sacrifice to cover them again. This was not the original plan of God. But since then, God has been looking for man to redeem them to the original plan that he has. Now, we need to understand that what God had intended for man is that he would live with him forever. And this is why when the Lord comes to look for man and woman to be able to redeem them, he's taking us back to the original plan that he had for us. That is why God has been searching after man. And we need to understand we do not have the capacity within ourselves to look for God. It is God who came looking for man. Because we are always on the run. We know what we did last year. We know what we did last time. So we are running, and God is saying, my mercy will locate you wherever you are. I'm going to find you by my grace, because I have an intention together with you. And we need to understand at the end of it all, the Lord still wants us back in the place of fellowship together with him. So the book of Genesis chapter number 12, verse number 1. The Lord is raising a man called Abraham, a father of faith, a friend of God. And I would desire that in my season, God would give me these credentials. I don't want to be remembered by the titles that I hold in this world. I don't want to be remembered by the money that I will make, where I lived and what I drove. I want to be remembered as a woman who walked with God. Because when I become a friend of God, it means I'm not a stranger in the presence of God. He reveals his plans to me. That is why Jesus would tell the disciples one time, you are not servants, you are friends. Because what I have heard from the Father, I have revealed to you. That being in friendship with God causes you to understand what is in the heart of the Father. That what tickles my heart is not what the world is saying. What tickles my heart is that I know the passion of the heart of my Father. I know the heartbeat of my Father. So the Bible says that the Lord is speaking Abraham, a man who came from a place where they did not worship the true God. And the Bible says that he calls him, verse number 1, and he says, Abram, he had not even had his name changed. The Lord said that unto Abram, get thee out of your country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, and to a land that I will show. I want to start by saying that the Lord is in the business of separating people for the agenda of the call of God. The reason why God would want us to understand what he said to Abraham is because at times we are so much entangled in the issues of this life. Entangled with the affairs of your father's house, of your country, your brothers and your sisters, that the Lord would have you say, for the sake of what I'm about doing in their lives, I would want to separate you first, that you may come into me, so that by the time you're going back to them, you will be the help that they need. Praise the name of Jesus. I want to say that separation is not fun. It is the cutting of some things that we were so attached and connected with that we thought this is where we are depending on. I don't know whether you have been in a place where you have a support system in men that without them you feel like you cannot breathe. You know whom to call when you have a money issue. You know whom to call when you have a spiritual need. You know whom to call when you have when your relationships are on the rocks. You know all those people. In Kenya, we call them sponsors. You know the sponsor for rent. You know the sponsor for clothes. The sponsor for jewelry. And I can tell you, we are doing the same in the house of God. That you know you are coming to God only when things are not working. When your sponsor number one has failed you, sponsor number two has left the group, sponsor number three has blocked you, then sponsor number four becomes Jehovah. I am praying in the mighty name of Jesus. The only sponsor who will be able to sponsor my life is Jehovah and not man. I will not come to God as an option. The only option I have is Jehovah. Because when I have Jehovah on my side, let every other sponsor leave my group, I am still fine. Because if God is on my case, then everything else is going to align. May you receive a grace for separation in this meeting, that you can tell God, I let you separate me because you know where I'm going. So he says, leave, be separated from your people, from your father's house. And I thank God for Doha, because you are not Qataris. The Lord separated you from Kenya, from Ghana, from Liberia, from Nigeria. You are already separated by default. Whether you are separated because you thought you are coming for the reals, I can tell you the agenda of God is more than reals. To some of us, you had to leave your country and come to Doha to have an encounter with God. To some of us, you had to leave your country to come here and be connected with a family that is not your bloodline. That you're looking for your people from your native language. And the Lord is telling you, your father is Nigerian and you can do nothing about it. So you want to communicate in your mother tongue. He's speaking the tongues of the Father in heaven. And so you have to submit under that authority, because God tells you, you left your father, but I gave you a father, because there's no vacuum in the kingdom of God. So when you are sensitive to the spirit, you will not go looking for a pastor who has the native language where you came from. You will ask Jehovah, what have you brought me to Doha for? I'm not looking for a certain tribe. I'm looking for the tribe of God. People who can speak the language of the Father. People who can do life together with me. People who can pat my back. People who can say, you are welcome. There's a seat for you. Then I belong to that house, regardless of their nationality. So to some of us, what the Lord would want to circumcise from the heart is your nationality and the culture of where you came from. So the Lord has brought you away into him, that he may instill in you the culture of a kingdom. A kingdom child of God. So he starts uprooting what you used to do in your father's house. He tells you, your father is not here, but you are not an orphan because you have a father. Separation is a choice that you make daily. Because I can tell you, we've carried baggage. I have been in the ministry for some years by the grace of God. And I know people can come to the ministry with their own agendas, looking forward for their agenda to get space. I want to tell you, if it is not the agenda of Jehovah, you will wait a little bit longer. Because to some of us, with the course of time, you're thinking you get attached to a ministry, looking forward for your agenda to be able to be discovered. And the Lord makes the man of God not to see the agenda. Because the reason why I got you from there is because there's something I am doing in you, that you may have my print in you, that I may be able to be glorified. So he deals with the culture of your father's house. He deals with your culture of your nation. He tells you, this is not that. But if you allow me, I will work in you. I will work on you. I will change your perspectives until you start seeing the way I see. I want to pray it will be easier for you if you align early. Because you can struggle for 2 years before you go home for a holiday with a culture that you are refusing to acclimatize to. So you are trying to add your culture. You are trying to add back the culture when God is saying, delete that culture. So 2 years are gone. You have not benefited from anything because you still have the mindset of your father's house. And so you are adding back. The Lord is removing you at 2 a.m. You are adding yourself back at 3 a.m. The Lord is removing you at 3 a.m. So 2 years are gone. Removing and adding, and God is getting a bit frustrated. I pray may we align with the Spirit of God. Because when God got you out of your father's house, he knew the agenda he had for you in Doha. You did not just come to work for someone who does not have the same skin color as you. You came that the agenda of God may be fulfilled. So they don't have to worship the way you used to worship in your church. Because this is not that. This is this. So when you start aligning to the purposes of God, you start seeing the beauty of the people you are laboring with their differences. I know I have church today. This thing has to work. This one has to work. So he called Abraham from the comfort zone because, you know, in your father's house, if it's not working in Nairobi, you can go to the village. And it's not for some of us, it's not even, it's just 2 hours away, you are home. And you tell your mother, by the way, it's not working. I have come. In Nairobi, we say, Mimi ndio niko, I'm the one there. So you come with your bags and with your children and your husband and you say, Father, I have come back home. By the time you park from Doha, Jehovah, and maybe your sponsor has not given you the ticket. Oh, Jehovah God. You cannot walk to Nigeria. Hey, the Spirit of God tells you he even has your passport. So you will only leave when he wants. And I'm telling you, to some of them, they are agents of God. They are not wicked men. They are agents of God to keep you here until the Lord works on you, until you have the print of God. So I came to tell some of us, you're not leaving anytime soon. 2 years is not far, but I'm telling to some of us, you're not leaving. I know the people who came knowing, after 2 years, I swear I'm going home. See, you are alive 6 years later, you are still in Doha. So people are asking, you said it's a dry place. You said it's a desert. See your life. Because the Lord is not yet done with you. And he who has the final say, he knows when your exit will come. It may be 5 years. It may be 1 year. But I can tell you, until God is done with you. So he tells Abraham, from your comfort zone. I know I'm speaking in the right church. I'm enjoying the service. Hiya Rakosia. I came to tell you, you are not going back, until God is done with you. So it will be better for you to start allowing the mind of God in your mind that you may see what God has. So the man of God is coming here crying. You come and serve in the men's ministry. I'm about going home. Where? You will serve in the men's ministry, even if it's last year. So we are looking at, I don't like that worship. You know, there's a way that we used to do it in Kenya. This is not Kenya. You wake up and smell the coffee. This is Doha. So you have to ask Jehovah, give me the anointing for Doha. Let me understand the territories of Doha. Give me the unction to perform in the spirit. Because this is not Nairobi. This is not Ghana. This is not Nigeria. This is God's land. It is called Doha, Qatar. And then he tells him, you leave your people, your father, Yanni. You have another strange father. You have to start loving them. You don't have to feel like it's not an emotion. You have to tell Jehovah, give me the love of a father that I did not know that I would call father, that I may submit and receive of the graces that they carry. I can tell you, you can sit under an anointing that will never even drop a drop of the anointing upon you because of the stubbornness of your heart. So other strangers are coming and they are getting blessed. And other people are going dry because unless you allow the Spirit of God to change your thinking, that you will say, in the meantime, Jehovah, grant me the grace that I need to submit under the authority, whether I feel like it or not. The last 8 years, God gave me an instruction to serve a man of God. 8 years, no salary, no transport, nothing. Serving the man of God. I served that man of God. I served until I thought I'm getting crazy. And when I felt like my feet were not working, the Lord told me, wake up and go. 1 hour drive from where I live. Every Wednesday we have a prayer meeting. Friday we have a prayer meeting. And Sunday we have 2 services. I woke up in the morning, my children told me, we have nothing to do with you, it is you who was called. And I told them, by the way, there's a daddy, I have to walk alone. It is okay, you can go to the church that you want. I know my assignment is with this man of God. I served the man of God faithfully. Last year, beginning of the year, I was called back to the mother church that had planted that church. And I went to him and I told him, Daddy, I have served you for 8 years. I feel my time to go home has come. He blessed me in front of the church. Let me tell you one thing. If you understood this thing, you should not struggle to receive a grace that a man carries. When you position your heart, in the middle of the night, they will bless you. In the middle of the night, they will pray for you. You will not have to tell them that your wife is pregnant. They will see the pregnancy before you tell them, because you are connected in the spirit with them. And I was not sent to come and preach that. I'm preaching what the Spirit of God has told me to preach. And I will still come back again. If the Lord allows me. I served the man of God. So last year when I was called, he requested me. He was not feeling very well. He requested me, stay with me a little bit longer for only 1 year. That was last year. So I requested from my bishop and I said, the man of God has requested that I may be able to serve a little bit longer. I was an evangelist. I was a woman leader. I was the intercessor. I was everything. I even sang. Even off key, I sang. I was available. I was faithful. I told God, every grace that this man of God carries, I want to honor it for the sake of my generation. I remember there's a time I was going to church and God told me, the marriage of the man of God has worked for more than 40 years. The children of the man of God have labored and they have excelled in this life. Invent for your children. So I could go and I could sow a seed. And I could say, man of God, I just came to bless you. I don't want anything. I just want to kneel that you may pray for me. I prayed for them. The man of God prayed for me. He loved me. So this year, beginning of this year, I was now called officially back. I could go and preach in the mother church, and then I could go to this church. In the month of January, the man of God got sick. We wept for the man of God. I fasted every kind of fasting. Daniel, Esther, Jesus, for every fast. We prayed. I remember in the month of March, there's something that he had desired to see happen in my life concerning ministry. And he was telling me, woman of God, I desire that in my lifetime, I may see you do 1, 2, 3 things that he had desired. And I remember he got sick and he was admitted in hospital. And in the month of March, in hospital, what he had desired to see happen in my life happened. And I remember he was in the hospital bed. And I went to him and I told him, Daddy, I came to tell you that I am this and this has happened. And then he said, lift me up that I may sit up. And he sat and he said, if there's anything else that I had asked of God to happen to me, even if I don't make it in this life, it has already happened. Let me tell you one thing. There's a grace that you receive when you can understand what God has assigned of you to be able to do. I can tell you the graces are more than money. You cannot buy it with money. The graces, it's an unction that is released upon your heart. You can serve someone for 1 year by the right attitude, in faithfulness, in availability, and it gives you a lifetime of a cover that your insurance of your company cannot give you. And so I remember on this day I went and I got what I wanted. He saw it happen in his eyes. And I remember he started going down. And I remember one day I was fasting and praying. And I was praying and I was in my closet. And I wept and I was asking God, there are some things I desire to do for the man of God. There are some things I had promised to do for him. I had a desire to bless him with something. And I remember on that day, fasting for 3 days. It was on a Friday. And I remember weeping I have a closet at home. Just the size of my body when I'm lying prostrate. And I went and I was telling God, is there anything I have not done for the man of God? Is there anything? Is there anything that you would want me to do? I have prayed, I have fasted, I have served, I've given my time, I've given my resources. Is there anything? And I remember going that afternoon at around midnight. I had wept the whole night. I had cried. I have asked God questions. He did not speak to me. But I had a dream. In this dream, we were in the hospital where the man of God was. And I remember there's a gray suit that he used to love. I have a touch. I love touches of excellence. And there's this gray suit that he used to love wearing and brown shoes. And so I used to tell him, Pastor, you're looking good. He was just a father. Pastor, you're looking good. And he could tell me, Priscilla, it is the suit that you love. Then I told him, it is the suit and the father and the anointing. It is just good on you. So I dreamed that he had this suit on him. And I saw him and I thought, why? Wow, the man of God is now healed. And he came and he gave me three instructions. I will only share one in this meeting so that I may be able to come again and share the other two. You remember? I'm already invited. So the last thing that he told me, woman of God, Priscilla, thank you for serving me so well. I give you one instruction, one last instruction. Wherever you go, give the people of God food. In Kiswahili, they say, patia watu wa Mungu chakula. I didn't know that was the last statement that my pastor and my father would give. Because the following day, I was just called from hospital. And the man of God had rested. But I can tell you the things that we did with the man of God. As speaking so loudly over my family, over my marriage. The things that he told me, Priscilla, you are going to the world. I can see them opening up. He may be gone 5 months ago. But I can tell you he's alive in my spirit. And I remember last before I traveled, because I always go to tell the woman of God. I went to tell Mama, I'm traveling and I'm going. And he said, I wish Pastor was here. Pastor would be so happy to see what you became. I want to tell you, Kaya Ramahande, the Lord calls you out of, into him. He gives you a different family that sees what you carry. So long as you can allow your eyes to align with the eyes of the people that you're serving with, that you're not coming to strive, you're not coming to struggle, but the family becomes your family, that you become connected with them. I remember when we went to bury the man of God, my father called me from the village. And he said, my daughter, my biological father, because we had gone to our family, he said, I am just praying for grace because I know you have lost a father. My biological father knew that I got a father, because when God calls you out of, he does not leave you in the wilderness. He connects you to a home. But your responsibility is to be part of the family. Be part of the home. Understand the rules of the home. That the benefits of the house will be your rewards. I came with my amen right there. So a few things that God promised this man, he said, I am taking you to a place that I will show you. So I want us to understand a few things that when God calls you into himself, he calls you to his own family. So you have to understand what happened to that family. He calls you to a place because the Lord told Abraham, I will give you land. He gives you the benefits. He gives you an inheritance that is tangible. But he also says, I will cause you to go to a place that I will show you. He calls you to a journey of faith. The reason why you'll be sustained in Doha for the years you'll be here. I repeat again, for the years you'll be here. It is the journey of faith. That you start seeing the things that God sees. I just know I came to confirm to someone who was about leaving the group. I came to add you back by the anointing of God. And I came to tell you, adjust to the atmosphere. Adjust to the AC. Because this is what you'll be under for some time. 1 Peter 2:9. For you are a chosen generation. A royal priesthood. A holy nation, God's own people, Akanamaya, called to proclaim the promises of him who called you out of darkness to this marvelous light. And the Lord has called to some of us, it is the darkness of our father's house. The worship of idols. To some of us, you never used to go to church, but then you go to an accommodation where the deacon lives, so you have to come to church by default. So you did not want to come, but the deacon is on your case. I want to bless the deacons in the house. Keep bringing them to church. Carry them and wait for them. Use your car to bring them. To some of us, we never wanted salvation. God happened. I remember the day I was getting born again, I had ran. I was a good Catholic sinner. I was on the move. And I remember this neighbor of my sister, Aye Kanamaya. She used to come every Friday. Priscilla, we are going to church. And I'm saying, yeah, I don't want to go. Priscilla, you're going to church. There's a day she came in the morning and she said, today, I even had a dream about you. You're not going. When she comes, I start putting my clothes on water. I am now washing. I have the anointing of washing. And she told me, we are going to wait for them. We have to go to church today. That day, she literally carried me to church. There was a crusade. The man of God preached and said, there's a woman of God here who is meant to be to receive Jesus Christ for the sake of the anointing she has for the nations. Then me, I'm saying, this woman should just rush and go so that we go home. I have a boyfriend to meet. And then she's saying, there's a certain person. People came. And the man of God said, there is still one more. Every eye closed. Me, I'm opening the eyes. Where is these people? Why are they wasting our time? This person should just go. My time is running. They waited. She said, the Lord is saying, I cannot close the service without this person come. In fact, she's a woman. I'm saying, I wish it was a man. Aye, Jesus, this is the wrong gender. I say, this one should just go. The way you bargain with God. The reason why we preach the way we preach is because we know it's grace that found us. We were not candidates of this thing. This thing was put in us as pregnancy. So we are on fire in our bones. We cannot resist the move of God because we know he paid the cost to get Priscilla. So I'm not here by coincidence, and I'm not here to please people. I know the assignment I have for my generation. That's why I preach it the way I preach it, because I know I would be dead by now. Maybe I would be a third wife somewhere. Let me not even go there so that I come back again. So I remember the hand that came, you know, I remember the hand that came. Me, I was brought to salvation. Me, I was pushed into God. I did not have any capacity to come. Me, I don't just come. I was brought by fire. The hand that took me, I did not remember how I left the stadium and came. I found myself kneeling before the man of God crying. That is the beginning of my tears. I cry. My goodness, I was, who carried me? And whoever that brought me, I knew it was not man. And the man of God said, she's the one. I'm saying, oh, Jesus, now see the embarrassment. Now, what is this? This is the one I was waiting for. Woman of God, do not make your heart harder. The Lord has an agenda for you. The only thing I remember is that after everyone had left the stadium, I was still wallowing in tears, 3 hours, 4 hours, 10. The lady waited for me until 10 p.m. That is when I regained consciousness. Let me tell you what, I will preach this thing until Jesus comes. The fire of God upon my life has to be for my generation. I will serve God faithfully with all that I have and all that I will ever have, that his name may be glorified. When I stand to preach, I tell God, I'm standing in the audience of one because I have to give an account of what he has entrusted for the sake of my generation. Jesus. A few things that God does when he calls you to himself is that he gives you a promise in his word. What keeps you going is the promise that God gave unto you. That is why to some of us, when you are coming, the promise you are given is what kept you moving. Even if you came and you discovered some of us, it's a road deal. The promise that kept you going is the promise that you are given by someone that maybe you never met. So that promise keeps you going. Now, if the promise of a man can give you excitement, how much more about the promise of God? The promise of God is located in the word of God. That is why we devote the word of God in the morning. We devote the word of God on a wrong day and a right day. We devote the word of God in the valley and in the mountains. When things are not working, I have the word of God in my bank. When things are working, I have a psalm in my spirit. I devote the word of God because this is what I'm depending on. Because the promises of God are located in the word of God. Number two, he gives you his presence as a token. The reason why we have come this far is because there was the backing of God. That is why Moses was crying and was saying, if your presence does not go with us, I don't want to lift my leg from this place. Because you can be in a strange place and a dry person, but the presence of God will water you. The presence of God will cover you. The presence of God will surround you. This is what kept Abraham in the season of waiting for a child. You have a promise. Of your loins will be greatness. Look at the stars of the sky. This is what I'm giving you as an inheritance. And the man is still gone. So what kept him? The promise of a child, the presence of God. That in his presence he waters you when you're supposed to wither. He tells you, wake up in the morning, we still have a journey to go. So what kept him for 25 years was the presence of God. And I want to declare the presence of God will be summoned for the years that God wants us to be here. That his name may be glorified. The presence of God will preserve your husband when you are away from home. The presence of God will preserve your children. The presence of God is a preservative. But gives you. He gives you his divine provision. Like I tell you, to some of us, you look at the bills you have and the month that is paying you. Today is 20, 10 is like 20, it's like 50. And you're asking, how do I divide the year? And there's a beauty project in charge. Jehovah God, have mercy. Until you get to a place, you're telling God, God, I think you need to understand this. Let me tell you one thing. Our divine provision is in God. Our economy is not based on the economies of the world. When you are a carrier of God, when God has called you to himself, he becomes the multiplier of the years. You don't know how you get it. You don't know how you're wearing what you're wearing. Your money is not in agreement. It's not in the same WhatsApp group with the need. But the Lord tells you, I'm pressing the baton. I am extending grace. I am providing for you. So you are helping at home. You have a child in school. You are still supporting the work of God in church. And you are still eating. It can only be the provision of God. I want to declare that the eyes of your understanding will be open, that you will know Jehovah Jireh is your provider. Your boss is not your provision. God is your provision. The other thing that God gives you is that he takes you to places of inheritance. It's possible for you to be in a land that vomits. It's possible for you to be in places that you ought to be with. But when the peace of God is upon you, when God has called you to himself, they will favor you whether you look like it or not. You don't have to be wearing the right cologne or perfume. But I'm telling you, sometimes even with your sweater, from the presence of God, you will get the favor that the boss does not know why he likes you. That you are meant to be fired, but something happened and the boss said, I want her back. We want her to remain a little bit longer, not because of the papers that you have, but because there's a grace that causes you to be favored in places that you are meant to be rejected. I want to speak the anointing of God that this land will accept you. The resources of this land will accept you. The people of this land will accept you. This place will receive you because you are a carrier of God. That is what to some of us, you sit and you wonder, how did you get that job? You can say, only God happened. Because your papers are not agreeing with the qualifications they needed. But somehow, 2 years later, bado uko. I want to declare, by the eyes of your understanding be open, you will be in a place where God wants you to be until he tells you to go home. You are not here because someone likes you. You are here because God has ordained of you to be here. You are not here because you are the best employee. You are here because you carry God. And when you carry God, the land favors you. The men of the land favors you. The authority favors you because you have carried God. And the token of his presence is upon you. And so by the time that you need to leave, you cannot leave empty. Because the place has to honor you on your way out. I have gone to places I all put and demand when I appear and I say, what I carry will be received because I know I am bringing God. I want to declare in the mighty name of Jesus, whatever that you need in the land of Doha, whatever that you need in Qatar, may men release it to you faithfully. May they bring it to you, Ekana Messiah. May they give it to you willingly. May you not, Yakanayasia, may you not struggle to be accepted. May you not struggle to be received. May you not struggle to be accepted. May the favor of God be upon your feet in this land, that wherever you step, may the land accept you. May your employer say, I am honored to have you in my team. I am blessed to have you in your team. And then you can tell them, it is not because of my expertise. It's not because of the work of my hands. I carry a grace. I am cut from a different rock. I am a child of God. I am anointed for my generation. I have a touch of excellence. I know what God has ordained of me. May you receive that grace in the name of Jesus. I want to declare, may the land receive you. May the land honor you. Together with the people of the land, together with the resources of the land, that you will know you have the mark of God upon your life. So places can reject men. That is why you need the presence of God. You need the favor of God. We do not stay in places because we want to be. The Lord speaks to the land to receive you with honor. The Lord speaks to the land to accept you. I can tell you, you can be rejected in an office and you are beautiful with your makeup. And they pick someone who looks like they are not beautiful. They are wonderful. Kaya Ramahasia. So you are wondering, how did they pick that wonder? Because when the mark of God is upon your life, he changes your look. He beautifies you. They cannot do without you. May you receive that anointing in the name of Jesus. May you receive that grace in the name of Jesus. May you receive that grace in the name of Jesus. This land will receive you until God is done with you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Aya namasiyadama. The mighty name of Jesus. Aya namasiyadama. Where does time go in Doha, Jehovah God? Oh my goodness. Oh Jehovah God. Rakana mayandere boria siana. Let me just finish. Oh my goodness. When did you say I'm coming, man of God? Did you say on Sunday? Oh my goodness, Jehovah God. A few things that you need to write on how to karabaya siana. To remain the separation, Jehovah God. Just write 1 Peter 4, 7 to 11. The discipline in prayer. What will sustain you is the discipline in prayer. The writer would write and say, there's a discipline that God calls us, that causes us to be aligned to the things that God wants us to get. So that time favors you, the resources favor you, what you need. It can only be navigated in the place, in the closet. Because in the place of prayer, we do not bribe God. God gives us his agenda. He tells you, this is what I want you to do in Doha. This is what I want you to benefit from in this land. So in the place of prayer, you start getting what God has in store for you. Praise the name of Jesus. Number two thing that we want to have, the book of Luke 9:62. And the Bible says, no one who puts his hands on the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. So the Lord gives you focus. What is it that God would have you do in KCMI? What is it that God would have you do in this land? So in the place of waiting on God, in the place of having this encounter with God, he shifts your focus to align to what he has in store for you. May you receive that focus in the name of Jesus. So when the Bible says that no one puts their hands on the plow and looks back, it means that you are not so much concerned about what is happening around you. You are focused on finishing the agenda of God. You are telling God, grant me the grace, give me the energy to be able to know what I need to do. The book of Hebrews 10:39, we are not among those who turn back and are destroyed. Instead, we have focused on the agenda of God. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. The last one. In the place of your encounters with God, as you get to the place of separation, he gives you the wisdom on how to invest wisely in time, in resources, and in the treasures that is given unto you. The book of Luke 19:12, just write. He gives you the wisdom to know how to invest your time. It's possible for us to waste our time in Doha and go back home empty. It's possible for us to go back home and people are wondering, did you even travel? But God can give you the wisdom to invest your time wisely. That on your off day, what do you do? Consult the Spirit of God. What do you do when you have your free time? Where do you go? In the place of prayer, God will lead you and give you the right company. Because to some of us, it is the wrong company that has corrupted us. That even what we came with that was good, it has been deflated by the enemy because we did not have the wisdom on how to invest time wisely. Praise the name of Jesus. My goodness. Thank you, Jesus. Luke 19 from 12 to 13, as I come to a close. And this is a parable of this man who left talents to a few people, but the only thing that I want to pick is that Jesus is reminding us, he's given us an assignment to occupy until he comes. I can tell you, Jesus is coming back. Jesus is sure coming back. But I can tell you what we have done with what is given unto us, he will ask of us. He is telling someone in this meeting this morning, I want you to occupy, but occupy together with me. I want you to allow me to let you know how you can be of a positive influence in this land. How you can be above par in this land. You can be a woman or a man of a difference in your office because you carry God. What God would want us to understand is that he's coming back. He's coming back for a church that is clean, spotless, and without blemish. With all the things that he's given unto us, he wants us to have the mindset that we are going back home. The place of fellowship together with him is the place that he's telling you, I have gone to prepare a place, but I'm coming back for you. And that day could be any day. And that is why he's calling us to a place of an awareness and awakening in the spirit. That, you know, even as he blesses you in this land, there's a place we are going. We are in this world, but not of this world. He's coming back for the bride that is prepared. So he's telling, as you use your time, as you earn money, remember the trumpet will be sounding any day. He's telling you, as you labor, labor as a wise laborer. He's telling you, do not have the servant mentality. Have a son's mentality. Just know that I'm coming back for sons and daughters, not for servants. Maybe rise up on our feet as we pray. The place of separation is where God is calling us into. Where God is telling us, I am separating you for the cause of the agenda of the kingdom. He's telling us, I am separating you that you may get out of the mentality of where you came from. The servant mentality, that I'm serving God to receive a favor. He's telling you, I want to incorporate you. And that's why when Jesus went on the cross, that we may be able to understand, he's coming as an ending to us. If we received everything in a foreign land and miss out on the agenda of the kingdom, what will it benefit us if we enjoyed all the goodies of this land? Understanding of what you created me for. I know what my assignment is in this land. I know exactly what you expect of me, because in the place of prayer you have revealed it unto me. Open up your voice before the Lord. Pray for yourself in case you have missed out on the mark. It is more than the things that we will receive in this world. He's calling us for eternity. We occupy and represent the agenda of God. But we also keep our sanity that when he comes, we will see him. When he comes, we will be changed and we will be like him. When he comes, we will be ready. We will know that is the voice of the master. We will know this is the voice of my father. And we will say, Father God, I have represented you well. Father God, I pray for your children. We pray that, King of all glory, you will call us to the original purpose that you had for us. The place of fellowship together with you. That the things you've given unto us, oh God, will not get us off the radar of God. The things you have blessed us with, oh God, we will not idolize them. We will not trivialize them, oh God. Our agenda will be our hearts are knit together with you, oh God. Father, we honor you and we give you praise. And Lord, even for giving me a chance again, oh God, to be able to come and share your word, oh God, I thank you. I thank you so much. Thank you, oh God, even for allowing me by your grace to be accepted again in this altar. Father, receive all the glory, and even for the things that you want us to do together, oh God, even with the man of God, I pray that, Lord, it shall be in accordance to your will, that your name shall be glorified. In Jesus' name I pray.